Mark Florence, who's the Director of Community and Economic Development at Indigo Shire. And Mark would have loved to have been here today. He's on long service leave, so he'll be disappointed to be missing it, but he's been a very passionate member of the age-friendly Northeast Victoria Alliance. But it's my pleasure to be with you today and facilitating the event. I'd like to start with an acknowledgement of country. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we are all meeting from today. I'd also like to pay my respects to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to other Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders who may be present here with us today. So thank you everybody for attending. We have an apology from Dr. Helen Haynes, our MP. But we may have some other people dropping in as the event continues, just the nature of Zoom. So the Age-Friendly Northeast Victoria Alliance, it was established in 2018 as a collaborative partnership to provide a shared strategic agenda for action across the Ovens and Murray area. The role of the Alliance is to guide the regional vision, to support collaborative partnerships, and to advocate for improvements in the lives of older people. The Alliance is currently supported by Central Hume Primary Care Partnership. And this year, 2020, whilst the Alliance hasn't met, the focus has been on obviously responding to COVID, but it's still done an amazing job of producing a number of key documents. So in the mix of everything this year, the Alliance has produced an age-friendly approach to disaster recovery, an age-friendly health system, the Indigo Forums framework, a document, Is Your Health Service Age Friendly? A guide to assess the age friendliness of health services, and a spatial indicators framework for the assessment of age friendly communities. But today we are here to launch sort of this document in this year's culmination, Understanding Your Community and Age Friendly Checklist. So to introduce this piece of work, I'm going to hand over to Dr. Kathleen Brasher, who's the Principal Strategic Advisor for Age-Friendly Communities and is currently based with Central Hume PCP, and Dr. Rachel Winterton, I think is here, a Research Fellow with the John Richard Centre for Rural Ageing at La Trobe University. Kathleen.
Helps to be unmuted. Thanks so much, Kate. I'm just going to share my screen because what I'd like to do is just take you through what the document looks like. So as I'm talking, you have a sense about what that is. So I'd like to begin by acknowledging my colleague, Rachel Winterton. Rachel and I have worked together now over a number of years on different projects related to age-friendly communities, and it's certainly a shared passion for both of us. So we worked together in compiling this document. I particularly want to acknowledge Benalla Rural City, the Indigo Shire Council, and the WAVE project, which was a combination of La Trobe University, Northeast Health Wangaratta, and the rural city of Wangaratta. And it was those organisations that provided Rachel and I with some really rich data to help us in guiding the development of this document. And every community in Mansfield Shire Council trialled the original pilot for us and provided some really fabulous feedback and have definitely shaped the way the document looks today. So I want to acknowledge and thank all those people. So while we were keen to develop a particular checklist for rural communities, really is to join that suite of documents that are available now for our communities, because it's really important that communities can gain an understanding of what parts of the community support older people currently and older people into the future, create a place where they can age well, but also to understand what gets in the way. Having a checklist like this allows a collective approach, so the whole community can come together to see their community through the perspective of older people. And we hope that the checklist also provides that baseline understanding of where a particular community, a whole region, is currently on the items that we've identified, and then it can then progress to be used as a monitoring tool as well. So to develop the checklist, Rachel and I started off with the two key documents that have guided the age-friendly work since they were launched in 2007, and that's the World Health Organization's checklist of essential features of an age-friendly city, and Public Health Agency Canada's rural and remote checklist. While both of those are incredibly useful and foundational documents, neither of them really meet the needs of the communities up here in Northeast Victoria, and Rachel and I are quite confident that the communities here are really reflective, but just because of the great individuality of those communities, they really reflect rural and regional communities around the country. And so we wanted particularly to work with those foundational documents, but really adapt them to meet our needs. And so to do that, we drew on the international research on what helps people live a good later life in rural communities. And as I said earlier, we then took the very rich data from Indigo, Benella and the WAVE project with the consent of all of those organisations. We took de-identified data, obviously, and applied that to the work that we had to see what was consistent and what was unique about rural communities today. And then, as I said, we had this fantastic opportunity with Mansfield Shire Council to trial the original checklist. So the checklist is organised around the eight determinants of healthy ageing, and they're very familiar with those of you who have been working in the age-friendly space, and they reflect the physical, the built environment in which we age, the social environment, as well as those really two key pivotal domains of communication and information and community and health services. So those services that people directly relate to on a daily basis. What's really important is that we know as we are trying to create age-friendly communities that the decisions that we as individuals make about how we approach these things, the decisions of all levels of government, the decisions of business, private enterprise and not-for-profits, the decisions they make now last a long, long time. So houses, you know, the house that I sold prior to living where I am now, I sold it, was 102 years old. So the decisions we make about housing, about transport, about our buildings will influence the way our children age as well. So this work is essential, not just for the over 30% of older people that reside in rural communities who are over 60 years of age, but for their great-grandchildren. So this is an example of what the checklist looks like. We've presented it slightly differently to those original checklists because we knew that for rural communities, it's not just a yes, no answer. And to take the first one as a point, not every community has pathways. The community that I live in, we don't have a footpath. So I'd tick no. Is it adequate? Well, that question doesn't reply if you've already ticked a no. Is it a priority? It's actually a low priority. We've got other things that I would think of as a greater need in my community if I was filling in this checklist. But it does allow for that discussion to take place about the adequacy of what exists and to help begin to set some priorities. So it's doing a little bit of analysis at the same time as filling in the checklist. When you have a look through the checklist, you'll notice some things are very specific to rural communities, like the third one on the slide, that there are signs warning vehicle users to slow down when a rural road goes through a town that clearly doesn't exist in the original WHO cities document. But there are also things that are quite relevant to our larger regional towns, like traffic islands and a number of other items as well. It's a very comprehensive guide. It's quite long and it deliberately does that. But it doesn't mean that you have to use the checklist, all of the checklist, all of the time. So in the document itself, Rachel and I provide you with some suggestions for how that how you might use the document. We give the example of the Vancouver Protocol, which was the way that all of those 33 cities around the world that contributed to the original research, we all followed that Vancouver Protocol. But we think there are other ways that you can complete the checklist using community meetings, walking assessments, or surveys are just some of the examples we give. But there's such a space to be creative in this work and to work with in really interesting ways to do this. I know some of the communities in Western Australia have done art classes around the checklist where people are encouraged to draw the city, the place, the community that they'd like to age in. So the document is now up on both the Primary Care Partnership websites, and I thank both Central Hume and Upper Hume for their support in disseminating. I also thank Central Hume because they've allowed me to print a number of hard copies, which I'd be very keen to share with communities. So please let me know if you'd like a hard copy. Thank you. And I'll hand it back to Kate.
Find my unmute button. Thank you, Kathleen. That's fabulous. Thank you for the insight into the background. We're going to hand over now to Jane Archbold from the Benalla Rural City to give us some reflection on how the checklist is working in their community.
Thanks, Kate. Can you, everybody hear me? You probably can't see me all that clearly, because I'm actually here with four members of the Benalla Age Friendly Steering Committee. These guys have actually been working with us since 2016. So I did want to acknowledge Rena, Marg, Michael and Doris. But look, I'd like to start by congratulating Kathleen and Rachel on the fantastic job they've done in pulling together not only an age-friendly checklist, but one that's rural-specific. We would have loved to have had a document like this when we originally started doing our survey. So instead of them helping us, we actually helped them. Because in 2017, when we pulled together a survey, we tore our hair out trying to find something that was appropriate for rural communities because there were lots of examples, but not much that was really specific. It was all focused around cities. We actually ploughed on, and I think Kathleen was able to use some of our examples in putting this together. So congratulations. We will use this document now in reflecting back and, of course, carrying on, because we did, and I'll just show you a copy here, we did an extensive survey that was very helpful for Kathleen in pulling it, hers together. But that looked at many of those indicators and so forth, but I don't think it's quite as friendly, as user-friendly as the one that has been produced. But as I say, I would like to particularly acknowledge that the work that the community did with the volunteers. We've got a very strong age-friendly committee here that not only guided that original survey, but has continued on. And on the basis of that original survey, we've actually developed an age-friendly Benalla strategy, which was adopted by the council earlier this year. But unfortunately, we haven't even had a chance to launch it because, as you can see, even by Zoom, it's really tricky for older people to link in via Zoom, which is why we've come together here in a council facility. So we're looking forward to being able to launch that once we can all start to really get back together and get life going normally. But I will acknowledge that the data that we collected was certainly done by local people going out and interviewing other local people, which again is some of the suggestions that you're making, Kathleen, as far as the process for yours. I don't know whether anybody else from Benalla wanted to add anything else, but I think really we've always found that the strength is in having good tools, but then also having wonderful volunteers to help lead that process. So thank you and congratulations. We look forward to working with you further on tools and strategies such as these.
Thank you, Jane. Great to see so many from the Benalla Committee here, and congratulations on your strategy as well. We'll look forward to seeing that when it's launched. Can I hand over now to Bianca Hurl from Mansfieldshire to say a few words?
Good morning. Thank you for having me, guys. I'm Mansfield Shire Council's Age Friendly Project Coordinator, and we were really fortunate over here in Mansfield to pilot the checklist. Firstly, I also would like to congratulate Kathleen and Rachel on the work which has been done on specifying and recognising the differences in rural areas and recognising the difference that having ageing communities out here in rural areas and how important that is to actually specify that within our demographics that we have. I'd really like to acknowledge the work that our volunteer ambassadors did with getting the surveys completed, and not only gaining the data, but providing the feedback and data on the surveys. And that has helped shape the work in which I'm doing here in Mansfield around promoting our age-friendly projects and getting them out into our community. So 9 of our communities actually completed the Northeast Victoria Age-Friendly Communities piloted checklist. And that was put out by our volunteer ambassadors, and they engaged through the Age Friendly Project here at Mansfield Shire. There were 6 completed questionnaires that addressed 9 individual communities, and so a couple of our smaller communities banded together and actually completed those surveys as a group. There was a cross-section of community of approximately 37 individuals, and the age range for those completing it was from 33 to 91. So it got us a good snapshot of the different ages and how they feel about age friendliness within their communities. This did generate great discussions on what was available and gave communities an opportunity to actually look at what was important for those communities and what they felt was
Excuse me, Bianca. So is there any chance you could just turn your volume up a little? You're just a little hard to hear.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Is that any better? Is that any better?
Maybe if you could just lean a little closer to the microphone.
I'll put in some headphones and see whether that works a little bit better.
Thanks, Bianca.
Hello.
Is that any much better? Yep. Thanks.
Okay. this did generate great discussions on what was available and gave communities an opportunity to look at what was really important to that individual community. So some of the feedback that came back to us that overall the checklist was very straightforward and easy to use. Community members enjoyed completing this in small groups, so they actually got together in small groups and engaged in the discussions, and it created a sense of connectedness and community. And they looked at the elements that either lacking or being addressed well in their communities. Then there was 8 specific suggestions on particular questions, and Kathleen and Rachel have obviously done a great job with gathering that information and having a look and making some changes on the suggestions of what the what our data came back at. Was there anything that you missed or would you like me to go over because my volume was not so great?
Bianca, I could hear you okay. It was a bit quieter than the other speakers, but I have headphones in, so I think unless anyone has any specific questions, we can come back to questions at the end. And sorry for not picking that up sooner that others were having trouble. I'll just remind everyone as well, it is being recorded, so if you want to go back and listen to Bianca with headphones on like me, or... yeah, that's an option as well, but we'll try and save some time for questions at the end.
So just with finishing up, I'd just really like to thank Kathleen and Rachel for giving us that opportunity here at Mansfield Shire to use the checklist and to form hopefully what's providing an age-friendly environment here in Mansfield Shire.
Wonderful. Thank you, Bianca. Thank you very much. I'd like to hand over now to Dr. Alana Holm from DHHS Ovens and Murray to officially launch the guide.
Thank you. Um, And I wanted to congratulate Kathleen and Rachel as well on production of the checklist. And I also wanted to congratulate our local governments and communities who are embracing Age Friendly. And it feels like we're creating a fairly sizable Age Friendly community here in our part of the world. And I think that what we're doing is leading the way in that respect. And I'm really honoured and proud to be here today. So when I was thinking about Kathleen's offer for me to launch Age Friendly, I started thinking about the environment that we live in. And I thought how lucky we are here in Northeast Victoria to live where we do. We've got beautiful mountains and grasslands and rivers. We have really distinct weather seasons. And I think what we've seen since, COVID has been not as present in our part of the world and people can travel, we've seen other people in our environments appreciating those things that we know and love. And sometimes we see some of those people end up becoming locals. From my perspective as somebody who lived in Northeast Victoria and moved away and came back again, I know that we have excellent health and education systems here and that there are a lot of diverse employment options. And what I also like about Northeast Victoria is that our communities know how to play. So whether it's by playing recreationally, in sport, different artistic endeavours or music, we seem to have it all. But one thing that I had noticed a few years ago moving back and having older parents and grandparents was that we needed to do things better so that all of our community could enjoy Northeast Victoria. And that was by the need to become more inclusive of our older populations. So I think it's really timely that this age-friendly checklist has been produced. I think what it does is it helps our communities to recognise and understand the value of being age-friendly and to undertake work that supports Northeast Victorians of all ages, but with a focus on those in our community who are older. To be a rich and vibrant community, we must ensure that the ability to age well is present in all that is here on offer in Northeast Victoria. The checklist will help us do that through its capacity for communities to take a place-based approach using an age-friendly lens in how we plan for our older populations and through encouraging the monitoring and evaluation of age-friendly initiatives. So on behalf of the Department of Health and Human Services in Ovens-Murray, I'm really pleased to officially launch the checklist and congratulations again to everybody that's been involved.
Thank you, Alana. I'm told that this is the sign language for clapping. look, we are running well for time, so we certainly have time for a couple of questions if anybody would like to ask anything from our panel today, from Kathleen or anyone else in the room. Do I have any questions? No. Alana, yes.
I actually have a question. One of the things I was thinking about when I saw the checklist was its ability to not only be a checklist, but to raise awareness of older people in our communities. And I thought the checklist too formed the basis of a really nice audit. And I wondered about whether anybody thinks there's a capacity for maybe population groups in our communities that aren't as connected to older populations as they could be to actually go through the checklist with that lens in their minds and whether that might help us to reduce some of that social disconnection that we sometimes have in our communities, especially with younger populations who might, you know, see ageing and older people as something that doesn't relate to them. So that's something I've been thinking about because of other projects I'm involved in, but just I'd be keen to hear what other people thought.
Fantastic. Who would like to share some thoughts on that? Kathleen?
Just to add to that, the checklist's been used and there's a couple of examples. So in, I'll forget the name of the community, it'll come to me, 3 o'clock in the morning, who worked with occupational therapy students from their local university, and they brought together a group of older people who are varying abilities, people with disability, and young people, and the students who use the checklist as a group, which I thought was a really, really nice way of doing it. In Portland, in the US, they do walking assessments with every potential counsellor and every executive team of their local governments. They do that by taking older people and parents with very young children, which I think is an interesting mix, with elected officials, and they use the checklist. I've worked with the City of Knox, and they use the checklist they use the city's checklist internally to see how their department, how does the Department of Planning think about information? How do they think about social connection? You know, so they use it in quite an interesting way as well.
Rachel.
I was just going to say, you know, echoing some of what Kathleen's already said, but I mean, we've got a planning and community development department at La Trobe, and I've been having some interesting discussions with staff from there about how they can incorporate that into educating planners. So as they go through, so while they're learning the trade, actually raising awareness from very early on in their studies around the need to plan communities that are not just suitable for older people, but also accessible for, because and Kathleen talks about this frequently, you know, age-friendly communities are friendly for everybody. So, you know, they're dementia-friendly, they're child-friendly. So I think if we can spread this checklist far and wide and really use it as an educational as well as an audit tool, I think it will really be quite beneficial in prompting some really interesting conversations with people around ageing and age-friendliness, most definitely.
And I think it also does it for rural. I mean, you know, just taking up both Jane's point and Bianca's points about how useful, how hard it is to find something that's rural. An earlier version of this I presented to some town planners, and they scoffed at the idea that I could put in brackets, footpaths if available. They said, but it's a requirement under the whatever act. So I think in some ways it was a really useful tool to say, actually, this is the experience of being in a rural community. You want the debris cleaned off roadways. You need to be aware of culverts. You need trucks to slow down at particular points. So I think as well it can highlight some of those things that just get forgotten about in the daily life of people in small communities.
We have Kate O'Toole with us from Indigo Shire. She's our Age and Well Officer, and I know Kate's planning to roll out the checklist in Rutherglen next year. I want to say later in the year, but we're almost at the end of this year. And it's a really interesting point, Alana, about how to involve other population groups in that and the impact that could have. So we'll certainly take that on board and think about it. I also just was prompted to remember it's with a disability lens, but some years ago at Indigo Shire, the executive went out in the streets with the disability lens on, and I know they had, you know, glasses that reduced vision and walking in wheelchair impediments, that kinds of things, and actually got out in, I think it was the Yakandanda Main Street, which our heritage towns are not known for being easy to navigate from that perspective. So, and that impact is still talked about today of that, you know, 1 half-hour probably excursion. So a really good point there in terms of other ways that we can profile things in our organisations. Are there any other questions before we wrap up?
Michael here from Vanilla. Just an observation, picking up what Kathleen and also Alana have said, that we need to really look at taking both government and private, I'll call it development if you like, we need to get back to the grassroots of it all, because Kathleen just spoke about town planners. Some of them are working with documents that are somewhat outmoded, if you like, looking at this checklist. And I often wonder how we bring into the forefront of their minds what it is to be an aged person. I think as Kate said about putting on those special glasses, it's a fairly difficult situation where in the rural areas now we're growing at such a rate. I mean, we don't have time possibly to sit back and look and say, well, how these developments we're bringing online, how are they going to allow people to build sustainable types of dwellings on smaller blocks of land? Yes, the shires need the rate income, but the people living in there, in these smaller homes on say 450 square metres, they're sort of handicapped in as much as the home they build is not a passive as far as climate is concerned. They've just got to build what they can fit on this small envelope. So I just worry that, yeah, we've got a long way to go, and the checklist is certainly a fantastic tool to use, but how do we get people who are, shall we say, making the decisions, how do we get it across to them to understand the way we should be going forward?
That's a great, fantastic comment. Kathleen, would you like to provide any response to that?
Thank you, Michael. And it's always a constant point of discussion about how you get this information into the places that it's needed. So as you know, the Age Friendly North East Alliance is trying to bring together all those local governments, because with all of us working together, particularly around those, you know, really big issues of attitudes to ageing, of transport, housing, a communication system that meets the needs of all older people all across the region. These are things that if we come together, we have more power in advocacy for those things, whether that be to federal, to state governments, and to the business sector. I think the business sector is understanding more quickly the power of the silver dollar, that economic development in a lot of places is actually being driven by certainly people over the age of 50, because they've got the income and they're the ones that are gifting that money down to children, to grandchildren, to great-grandchildren. And 96-year-olds are having their 70-year-olds boomerang back home again as well as life changes. So I think there's a growing understanding of the complexity of five generations of the one family being alive together and the economic benefits that that can bring. I think the other thing that, so there's advocacy that can happen. We are now in the decade of healthy ageing. So we have 10 years that the UN has stipulated we need to have sustained effort on creating age-friendly environments as part of that decade of healthy ageing. So we can use our federal members to say, we are a member state, we are required to be addressing these things, creating housing that connects to services, that connects to transport, is fundamental for everyone. So how do we get better at it? And the third thing I would say, one of the interesting things that we found in piloting the checklist with some service providers is that they said, gosh, there's some good ideas in here. You know, I'd never thought that we should do, and this was particularly related to some of the things we've got in the checklist around management of heat emergencies. You know, I'd never thought of doing that. We could actually do that quite quickly in my council. So, you know, the checklist can be used to stimulate some of those discussions rather than, it can be forward looking and give potential and some ideas as well as being used to say what's getting in the way. It might be a good time, perhaps a couple of, I know we've got some other local governments and state government staff on if they'd want to take part in that discussion.
Absolutely. Is there someone else who'd like to put their hand up to respond? I'm happy to say a few words, I guess, with the Indigo Shire hat on. I think the advocacy piece and advocating from the Alliance perspective is a really powerful way to have an impact. But I would also say that over the last 4 or 5 years, the huge I guess the way local government has in this region has embraced age-friendly policies and steps forward has been fantastic. To hear today about strategies that have been completed, and Indigo Shire has had a strategy for a few years now as well. And it's really quite a new space for local government to be developing age-friendly strategies. And when we have those, it's the starting point to then start those, or to be raising the profile of those conversations from that age-friendly lens perspective with the other departments and with planning, and then raising it up through state government lenses as well. So whilst it can feel like a bit of a slow beast at time, when you sit back and look at the progress that's happened in the age-friendly space from a government perspective, probably in the last 4 or 5 years, I think it's something to really be celebrated. And I think it's something that, yes, absolutely, Michael still has a long way to go, absolutely. But I feel quite optimistic about the road forward. I think that there's a lot of momentum, and that change is gaining pace. So that would be my reflections. Does anyone else want to weigh in?
I can.
Go ahead.
My name's Kathy Bushell. I'm from the City of Ballarat. I guess from our perspective, I've just actually started at the City of Ballarat, and they've just invested in an ageing well officer. So, and one of my main roles is to plan and think about age-friendly strategy for Ballarat. So we're at the very early stages, I guess. So I just wanted to say thank you very much to this group for all the work that you've done, I guess, paving the way for people that, you know, I guess you've been kind of early adopters in this space, and it's really great because we get to learn from a lot of the things that, you know, that you've been doing. Before I came to the City of Ballarat, so I've been here 4 weeks, so very new. And before that, I was at Central Highlands PCP. So I really support and am passionate about collaboration and working together as well, which I think is really important. So I'm hoping to bring all of that to the City of Ballarat. So I'm hoping, and I'm writing down all your names, so I'm hoping to touch base with you and pick your brain, work out, you know, what's worked well. But I really want to say congratulations and thank you very much for all your hard work, because I will and my catchment, I guess, will be benefiting from the work that you've done. So thank you very much.
Fantastic, Kathy. Wonderful to hear. Good luck with your role at Ballarat. That's exciting. Wonderful to see the momentum continuing. Well, do we have any other questions? If not, we might bring the launch to a close. So I'd just like to reiterate, I guess, particularly to Kathleen and Rachel, the congratulations that have been flowing through the comments today and voiced on the screens. Congratulations to the Alliance on managing to achieve so much in what has been such an incredibly difficult year. And thank you to everyone for your time today and for taking part in the launch. Enjoy the rest of your day.